Josh Linville with StoneX is joining the Red River Farm Network. And Josh, I think the last time we chatted here was before the planting season kicked off across much of the Midwest and the Corn Belt. And back then, you know, while fertilizer prices were, you know, a little on the high side, those prices have just continued to skyrocket. I remember we're talking, you know, about maybe when those prices would come down, you know, the summer months there isn't as much demand and prices usually recede a little bit. But you look at the prices all summer long and into fall and they remain high. And so bring us up to speed on why that is.
Yeah, it's actually been one of those things. It's actually been kind of counter-seasonal. Typically, you come out of the spring season, you go into the hot, dry, or humid summer months, and nobody wants to buy anything, and all of a sudden, fertilizer prices start to drop down to the summer lows. And we came out of the spring, and it's like we just continue to sprint, and there's just been a litany of issues that's popped up. And it's, again, it's following that trend of every black swan event and or perfect series of events that could happen seem to continue to come together here for 2021. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the nitrogen sector. You know, you have a lot of production that was lost here in North America due to Hurricane Ida's impact. In Europe, a lot of production has been lost now and will continue to be lost until natural gas prices drop back off again. But you look at their values, they're up to $25, $30 a unit, and there's no way to produce fertilizer and make money in today's market. So they are shut down. And that doesn't show any sort of hope of correcting itself until next April. And then situation in China. You know, they are the biggest producer of urea and phosphate. And the government's now starting to go around to producers and say, you will stop exporting this. They've got a lot of energy situations going on there in country. They want to hold everything back for Chinese farmers. So all these sorts of things that, you know, I think we joked about last time we talked, if we were to talk about all the things that had happened to get us to where we were 12 months ago, you'd be laughed out of the room. But here we are. And that's just continued to be the situation.
Yes. Well, and you mentioned just some of these things that you couldn't predict and some things that were predictable. But, you know, I think of some of the most recent events, especially at our southern ports and where we have some major, you know, fertilizer hubs or plants, if you will, with the hurricanes that have been rolling through. And so with some of these disruptions, too, it's taken a little bit of time to get some of these logistical things back online, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And, you know, not only just the terminals, but even the barge capacity. There was one company that was discussed, and I don't know who the name of it was, but they said they had 100 barges that were in the Gulf during the Hurricane Ida impact. Of those 100 barges, two of them sank. 94 of them had some sort of minor to major damage made to them. So 96% of their NOLA fleet was lost for some point in time or another. You start looking at those types of values across the entire NOLA barge fleet, you've just lost a tremendous amount of capacity to move product around.
Well, and I'd like to, you bring up China too, Josh. I'd like to touch that on a little bit more, if we could, from a world perspective in fertilizer, because we know a lot of the fertilizer, you know, that people start buying for spring and whatnot, that's trying to be moved now, and some of that comes from China. As you mentioned, they're going through their own little crisis, if you will, over in China with holding back some of their supplies and keeping it in-house, if you will. Bring us up to speed on the world perspective when it comes to fertilizer.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of people are trying to liken this back to 2008. That was the last super cycle that we saw in commodities. That's when we set the all-time high for a lot of fertilizer prices around the world. And people are saying, okay, it's just like that because we're going to, I think that we get to the point where we're going to challenge those values, but it's going to fall off just as quickly. But the problem is back in 2008, that was a very demand-driven marketplace. There was never an issue finding supplies out there. It was just a matter of did you have to pay $20, $30, or $40 a ton the next day to buy it. Today, it's a supply-driven marketplace. We have lost a tremendous amount of production. Like we said, COVID delayed a lot of repairs, and now we're having to catch up, and so more plants are down than what usually happens. The European natural gas has caused production rates to plummet, and that's got to be made up somewhere. China has their issues. They're a major exporter. Just trying to go off memory here, I believe they are about 39-40% of the world phosphate capacity. They export around 30%, 32% of the world exports. So when you start taking a country like China out of it, it's felt worldwide. I don't care if you are the biggest trader in the entire globe or you are one of the small farmers like in Northwest Missouri, like my family is. It affects everybody just the same.
Yes, certainly. Well, and so if you could pull out your crystal ball, that'd be great here, Josh. But of course, everybody's wondering, you know, do I secure some of these prices now? Am I going to see things go down? Obviously, farmers, long story short, are preparing for the 2022 growing season, and especially up here in the Northern Plains, North Dakota, South Dakota, and in Minnesota, where those fertilizer supplies have to travel a little further to get to where they need to be. Farmers are already thinking about that. And so when we're looking at the outlook for fertilizer, preparing for next spring, what do we know right now, and how should farmers be preparing for some of the logistical issues we may face?
Unfortunately, I still think there's more bullishness left in this marketplace, and it doesn't matter if it's nitrogen-based, phosphate, or potash. Every single one is extremely tight on the supply side. There is a conversation that can be had as far as what the demand will be, but ultimately speaking, the supply issues still outweigh the demand issues that we might have. And then you start overlaying those logistical issues. You know, we just talked about the barb side. You start to look at the capacity of rail, and I don't think it's changed substantially, but it's not going to make up the difference for everything else out there. You look at the lack of trucks that are out there on the road. It is all kind of limited itself. It's probably one of those things we need to lean into this thing. I think the markets have all got more upside to them, unfortunately. I think logistics are going to be a worse and worse issue the further we get into the wintertime and next spring. I would say if you are uncomfortable buying the product today, I would at least ask, if not beg you, at least have that conversation with your supplier, whether that's a retail co-op, whoever it might be. Have that conversation with your supplier and say, hey, I'm not comfortable buying this. However, these are my intentions. This is what I'm expecting to use, so that they can start trying to plan on it. At least give them a little bit of ammo to try and prepare for it. Because the worst thing that we can do is we can wait till the last minute and then show up and say, okay, I'm ready for it, because with where prices are right now, nobody wants to take the risk. That product may not be sitting there, and given the logistical constraints I think we're going to see over the next 9 to 12 months, it may take a lot longer to get that product in place and ready for you.